of a testimony, because there is something powerful about a testimony. It releases something in the atmosphere. When John, just a few minutes ago, was up here and he began to talk about what God did for him, and that he realized that he was the righteousness of God, and that you don't have to feel ugly or in sin or guilt and all that. You can actually, as a believer, realize that you are made right with God. That released something in the atmosphere. Did you feel it? All of a sudden, those of us that had questions begin to realize, hey, wait a minute. God does love me. Amen? And so, this is the power of a testimony. And I'm going to talk about this. It's not just about giving praise to God, and that's good, and we should give praise to God. You know that I believe in worship, right? I mean, this church is founded on that, praise and worship. We love that. We love entering in. But there is a deeper thing that God wants us to take us. There's a fuller revelation of a testimony. It goes beyond just saying, thank you, Jesus. When you begin to share your testimony, it releases something. It creates an opportunity for that miracle to be reproduced again. Amen? Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. All right. So, here we go. So, it's really important for us to remember what God has done. And really, our capacity for miracles today is really has a lot to do with what we remember that God has done in the past. And if we can remember that God has done these great things when we're in these situations, we can feel confidence because we know that it's the same God, amen, that did it back then, that can do it again. And the same ammunition you need to defeat your current battle is in your testimony. And so that's what we want to get to. And I want to just talk to you about a few minutes about that, that we want to create an atmosphere for the miraculous. We want to create an atmosphere for God to do something great in our midst. It can be on your job when you're at your job and you just get the opportunity just to share your testimony. It's at the right time. It's at the appropriate time. And you give, and the door is just open for you to just begin to share your testimony. I was at, my memory is just not so good today. I was at an Italian place. What is that Italian place over on Thornton Davis? Da Vinci's, thank you. God bless you people. Amen. And anyways, I was there, and it just kind of came up with this conversation with this lady. She goes, hey, you're a Christian? I said, yeah, I'm a Christian. She says, listen, I need prayer. I'm having a difficult time right now. I'm getting ready to go on a missions trip, and I just want prayer. I said, all right, well, let's pray, you know, right there on the spot, you know. Isn't that the best thing to do? Because most of the time we tell somebody we're going to pray. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. We sometimes forget. Deuteronomy chapter 6. In reading and going through the book of Deuteronomy, a lot of us may not spend a lot of time there. It seems like there's all these rituals and laws that the Bible talks about. But it is so interesting how many times in the book of Deuteronomy that God tells them not to forget and to remember what he has done for them. So here you go. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Everybody say, upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. You getting the idea? Just saying basically, just to talk about it, right? Just let it be on your heart, okay? Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads and write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Next verse, please. Verse 17 says, and you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his, what? His testimonies and his statutes which he has commanded. And so, this is a great passage that tells us that God not only wants us to be obedient, not only does he want us to keep his commandments, but he wants us to keep his testimonies. He wants us to remember what he has done in the past and for our family and for the generation so that we can keep passing on the goodness of God so that when your son or your daughter or your grandchild faces a similar situation, they can say, you know what, hey, listen, my grandpa faced a similar situation and God delivered him. He called us to remember. He calls us also to keep his statutes, which God is saying, listen, I don't want you just to do what I tell you to do, not just to do my commandments. I want you to know why I do it. I want you to get to know me. I want you to come into relationship with me. And so every command that God gives us has a purpose to it. And so we are to keep our testimony fresh. You hear that? Amen? That we are to keep our testimony fresh. Because when you keep your testimony fresh, it creates awareness of God. Amen? When you're talking about your testimony. Have you ever just been around somebody that they're always talking about their testimony? Have you? Anybody? You get any feedback? Yeah. You know anybody who they're just always talking about their testimony? Doesn't it just kind of, it just makes you excited. Like, man, they're just really keeping it real. They're keeping it up to date. They're keeping it fresh. Amen? Their walk with God. I love testimonies. I love to hear when somebody has shared what God has done in their life. It really does. It brings, makes God real again. It makes them powerful. It makes them intimate. I love to hear about God's supernatural intervention in our lives, how he's done great things. So what is a testimony? Let me give you a few things here this morning. The word for testimony in Hebrew, since Mark's been giving you some Greek stuff, I'll give you some Hebrew. The word testimony in Hebrew comes from the root word means to repeat and to do it again. Isn't that fascinating? It means to repeat and to do it again. I love that. Not only are we just to repeat the testimony, but there is something powerful that God wants to do it again. Come on, somebody say amen. Somebody said the same God that did the great miracles back then wants to do some new miracles today. Amen. He wants to do it again. He wants to show his power again in our life. And so here are some things about a testimony. Number one, a testimony is about what God has done. Listen, he's the hero of the story. When you're telling your testimony, make sure that God is a hero. Amen. Sometimes we want to glorify in our situation or how bad it was and all that. That's okay, but listen, at the end of the day, make sure that God is a hero. Make sure that we remember that it's his story. Amen? Where we play a minor part in his story. And so I love that, and that's what Scripture tells us. One of the things we learned about when we were, I hope some of you have the opportunity to go through it when we do it again, the Story of God Weekend. I know we did a series on the Story of God, but we actually took a group. There's actually a picture of it on the wall out there. It's a cool picture. Where we did a Story of God Weekend. And just an intensive time where we actually went through the whole Bible in a weekend. Just really an amazing, awesome time where we discussed and we talked about the Word of God. But one of the things that came out of that is that it's his story. You know, we read about Noah. Sometimes we think it's just about Noah. Or this is about story about Abraham. This is a story about Moses. Or this is a story about Ruth. But you know, the truth is, they're just minor characters. It's really God's story. Amen? And it's the same with us. God is the hero of the story. When we talk about a testimony, it declares what God has done. Amen. Let me go to the next one. Number two, a testimony is a revelation of his nature. So a testimony, not only about God, but a testimony actually reveals us. When you hear somebody's testimony, you're actually hearing a little bit more about God than what you knew before. You're hearing it from their side. Listen, I was in this situation, and God came through for me just like this. And you begin to, the nature of God begins to be revealed. That, you know what, even when I was not so faithful, God was faithful. How many of you have that testimony? Amen. How many can say that, yeah, there were times I wasn't very faithful, but God has always been faithful to me. And so a testimony reveals the nature and the character of God. A testimony is an invitation to get to know God better. To get to, you know, really, man, that God is awesome. I love that. I love to hear God do just great things. We did this in our small group, and this is what a couple weeks ago, we ran around Chris Masad was leading the group, and he actually brought some stones. I'll talk about that in a moment. Hence, we have stones here this morning. But he was talking about it, and we went around and we just began to share testimonies that God has done in our lives and in our group. And I'm telling you, when you come out of that, you're excited. I mean, somebody's talking about that God just spoke to them. Where's Jay? Jay in here? Or is he outside drinking coffee? He's probably outside drinking coffee. Okay. Jay was talking about, I remember when this happened. Jay, he's the guitar player that was back here. I don't know if you remember, know Jay, but Jay and Rebecca. He came here for a service, and he was sitting right over here where you guys are sitting. And I remember Bethany was up, and she was doing ministry time, and she called him out. She said, I want you to come over here. You couple want to pray for you. And she called him out, and I'm like, man, who are those people? I've never seen those people before. You know, she's calling them out. And so Jay was telling us in our group, he said that when he was driving here, it was the first time he ever came to church. He said when he was driving here, he said, God, I need to hear from you. He says, I'm not talking about hearing through the message. He says, I want to know without a shadow of doubt, I need to hear from you today, God. Is that awesome? I mean, you know, I mean, that just kind of encouraged me. Like, wow, man, God knows. And he's active. God hears our prayer. He hears the desires of our heart. Amen. And that was encouraging. Remember, we just ran around the table. I mean, ran around the room, just kind of sharing the good things about God. And really what it does, it reveals the character of God, that God really does care about us. God really does love us, and he is concerned about us. Amen. Amen. We need a constant awareness of God. And testimonies speak of this. They help us. Listen, if we don't have fresh testimonies, we're gonna plan our ministry based upon our own gifts. We're gonna plan our life based upon our own gifts and our own talents, about how what we have. We're gonna plan our life and the vision for our life based on the resources that we have. But when you have a testimony, see, that changes everything. Because then, see, you can say, listen, I serve a God that can do the impossible. Amen? I mean, I serve a God that can do great and mighty things. I mean, he can use anybody. Believe me, I am a testimony of that. Amen? Don't say amen too much. Okay. I know what you're, yeah. But that's the kind of God we serve. Amen? So we got to keep our testimonies fresh, because if it's fresh, then we can believe God for great things. We don't have to think it's just my talent. Well, man, if God doesn't show up, well, you know, I'll just work real hard and make it happen. No. Testimonies remind us that God is active, that God is present, that God is here right now. I believe that there's going to be some miracles today. I believe there's going to be a release of the power of God today. I believe that there is anointing that is here today. Psalms 40, I want to read this to you. I love this. Psalms 40 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me, and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit and out of the mud and mire. Does that sound like anybody? Amen? Anybody? Okay. All right. He set my feet on a rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand. And he put what? A new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to God. See, this idea of a new song, I love this. And I've talked about this before in the church, but I just love talking about it. The new song is so cool in Scripture, because what it is God has done something new. And so the old song just doesn't cut it. You got to have a new song of praise. You've got to write something new, because God has done something special. I mean, his mercies are new every day. Amen? I mean, and God does great things, but now he's just done something greater. And so it requires a new song in your life, a new testimony. This is the kind of God that we serve. And what it does is it reveals the nature of God. That's what would happen in Scripture. That's how we have the term Jehovah Jireh. Amen? We got the term Jehovah Jireh because Abraham was about to put a knife through his son, and God provided a lamb, a ram that was caught in the thicket, the bushes, right? And God provided, and so he named it. He named God. God will provide. He is my Jehovah Jireh. See? Come on, somebody. A testimony reveals the character and the nature of God. Oh, that's good. Amen. That is a good word. All right, so a testimony should lead us into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. It's an invitation. Church, are you hearing me? A testimony is an invitation for God to come. Get to know me better. I want to reveal myself to you. Number three, a testimony involves remembering and declaring. When we remember what God has done, it is though that we take that seed from that particular miracle and we deposit it in a new environment for another miracle to take place. Amen. Amen. Over and over in Scripture, we see that God is telling Israel not to forget what He's done for them. Psalms 103 and 2 says, "Bless the Lord." And what? And forget not, come on, all of His benefits. Isn't that important? We remember what God has done for us. But what happens is God does something great, like yesterday. I mean, this is just, Sharice and I, we're talking about this morning. Sharice has an iPad, and my son was running with the iPad. Yes. And dropped the iPad and shattered the glass on the iPad, right? Yes. I was good. I wanted to kill him. I wanted to offer a sacrifice unto the Lord. We didn't do that, though. He's still alive. And so anyways, this happened about a month ago. And so, you know, I just, every time you'd look at it, man, you just see this cracked screen. I mean, we put a little plastic thing, a little shield over it, you know, so you wouldn't be able to feel the little cracks. And so anyway, so Sharice was going to Modesto yesterday for a shower, and I said, "Honey, just go by the Apple store, man. Just take it to them and just see what they say." You know, so she takes it to them, and the guy said, "Well, you know, we have a replacement. We can give it to you at a discount." What did he tell you, like $299. So he said, "Yeah, you can get a new one. We'll do it cheaper than what it cost originally, but $299. And then, and Sharice, he gave her a brand new one. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Amen. But what I was thinking about, I mean, that's really cool, right? I was thinking about it. It's so easy for us just to forget that. You know what I mean? In another year from now, another 2 years, you know, you just kind of, you got a new problem, you got a new situation, and we have a tendency to forget, right? So the Lord tells them, listen, don't forget what I have done for you, all right? Look at Nehemiah 4:14. Nehemiah 4:14 says, don't be afraid of them. Why? Why does it say that? What does it say up there? Remember, right? You don't have to be afraid of them. I know they're talking smack about you. I know they're saying all this stuff on your job and they're all that kind of stuff. But the verse says here, you don't have to be afraid of them. Why? Remember. Just remember how great and awesome the Lord is. Isn't that awesome? Amen. That God is good. He said, listen, just remember. Listen, the reason why we have fear and anxiety today, and the reason why we have stress and worry today, is because we forget how good He is. But when we just remember, oh my God, that He has come through time and time again. Amen. Matter of fact, in Scripture, you will see this. Go to the next verse, please. You will see this happening. God sometimes, He would diagnose the problem of Israel. He would say, listen, your rebellion is tied to your forgetfulness. Look at this verse. When our fathers were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles. They did not what? Remember your many kindness. And they rebelled by the sea. Go to the next one, please. What they believed, then they believed His promises and they sang His praise. Doesn't it sound like us? But soon what? They forgot what He had done. So God says, listen, God says, I can almost tie your rebellion and your sin to your lack of remembering what I have done in your life. Because all sin is an accusation against God that He cannot be trusted. So guys, listen, your forgetfulness is what's causing you to sin because you think you got to make it happen. You got to think you got to be the one in control. But if you'll just remember that I am, that Lord, He is God, amen, that He is in control over our life. So let me give you, I'll give you this real quickly. We tend to forget when we're in a hurry. Isn't that true? Anybody remember the story of Abraham? got in a hurry, right? Didn't wait for the promises of God. He's going to have to make it happen himself. All kinds of problems there. I don't have time to get in that story. But we get in trouble when we get in a hurry. Number two, we forget when we're hurting. When we're in pain, whether it's we've been hurt by somebody else, somebody has done something to us, whether it's financial, whether it's physical, whatever, sometimes we just forget that God is still in control. And sometimes we feel helpless. That when we're hurt, it tends to cloud our mind. Amen. We get foggy. We don't remember how great and good God is. Amen. Third thing is we forget when we're full. Do you remember that verse in Deuteronomy 8? It says this, otherwise when you eat, can you put that one up real quick? Yeah. It says, otherwise when you eat and you are satisfied and when you build fine houses, everybody say fine houses. And when you settle down with your herds and your flocks and you grow large and you have silver and your gold increases and all that you have is multiplied. Everybody say multiply. Then your heart will become proud and you will what? Yeah, you'll forget that, you know what? It wasn't your hard work. It wasn't your initiative. It wasn't your skill set. It wasn't that. It was the Lord. It was the Lord. The Lord is the one. The Lord is the one that positioned you for success. The Lord is the one that gave you the gift. The Lord is the one that brought people into your life at the right time, the right connection. It was the Lord. And so he says, listen, don't forget when you're hurt. Don't forget when you're full. Amen. Just remember that God is good. Amen. Don't get in too much of a hurry, right? Joshua 4. This is where, getting ready to wrap it up. This is what Beth Moore was talking about in her book. It just jumped out of my spirit. And this is what I wanted to spend a couple minutes on. Joshua, Moses has died, and Joshua is getting ready to cross over Jordan. And God is going to do a great miracle. He's going to push the waters back of Jordan so that they can cross through on dry ground. And this is what it says. It says, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, this is actually verse 1, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones. Everybody say 12 stones. From the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, and carry them with you and put them down at the place where you're going to stay tonight. Verse 4. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan, and each of you is to take a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of Israel. Verse 6. Look at this verse. It's so important. This is to serve as a what? A sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So God says two things. Listen, I want you to take these stones. I want you to make a memorial because I want them to be a sign that point to my goodness. I want when you're walking by and your son says, hey, Dad, what is that for? What's the purpose of that? What's the significance of that? I want you to be able to tell him, listen, God, we were on the other side of the Jordan. God caused the waters. The priests, they had the Ark of the Testimony, the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders. And when they walked and they just got ready to touch the water parted and they were able to walk through on dry ground. God did a great miracle, son. And if God did a great miracle then, son, he's still the same God today. Amen? It's to point to his goodness. I have some stones with me today. I brought some stones and I wrote down a couple things on these stones. I thought was pretty cool. I have one here and I've told this testimony to the church, but this is one of my testimonies. I actually showed this to my son the other day, Noah. my oldest. It says Noah was born on this day, 10/21/2000. The reason why this one's so important to us is because for 8 years, Sharice and I, we didn't have children. We didn't think we could have children. We had to start going through all that process. And we prayed. We actually had our small group pray for us. I've told this testimony before, but it's good to tell it again. And within a week, we found out that Sharice was pregnant. Isn't that amazing? It's something that I can remember, right? So I wrote it down that's what God did. I have another one here. Where's it at here? This one here. This was May 25th, 2008. This is when Lifesong became a church. This is when God did a great miracle for our church. Amen. Amazing miracle. He brought two churches together. Just an incredible. There are so many miracles that happen and so many testimonies that happen with that. Of how God, you know how hard it is to bring two groups of people together? You know what I'm saying? It's hard to get anybody to agree on anything. Churches, we have churches, man, we're weird with our traditions, you know? You know that we are, right? We're religious people. We get in our habit of doing certain things and the way we like to do things. But God worked it out, changed the hearts of everybody, softened our hearts. God just did a great, and I will never forget this miracle. I will never forget this miracle that God did for us. Amen? I have another one here, and this is from, it says five, it has a $5 on it. Listen what this one has, $5 on it. And it has my mom's name on it. I'm going to ask my mom, Mom, come up and tell us about this one real quick. It's her $5 miracle.
I brought $5 with me. It's not the $5 that I had at the time of the miracle, but it's just a reminder. We look at this $5 and think, what's $5? It's nothing. But I'm telling you, little is much when God is in it.
Amen.
When my husband was in the Navy and their ship was getting ready to go back overseas back to Scotland, and I was here in South Carolina, and they told us that the wives could go down that day that the ship was leaving, and we would get our paychecks, because being in the Navy, we needed the paychecks. You know, it went from paycheck to paycheck, and so I was one of the wives down there with my two little girls at the time, and but you know, the Navy. U.S. government can change their mind. So they decided not to let the men off the ship with the paychecks. And so we stood there for quite a while, and we watched that ship just take off. And I'm thinking, there goes my paycheck. And but I did have $5. And now back then, that $5 was worth quite a little bit. And and also at my house, I was going to be there for 3 days, so I decided, well, you know, I like tuna. So I had cans of tuna, and I thought, well, I'll have that tuna for these days. And I had a little bit of cereal for the babies, and I thought, I'll be okay. And so I went back home, and, you know, after one day of tuna, you know, the next day tuna just doesn't hit the spot just as much. But my landlord came over, and I'm cutting this short. Cutting pieces out, but he came over and asked me if I would like a hamburger, and I thought, boy, would I like a hamburger, yes, you know, and so he left, and he came back, and he had a hamburger and fries and a milkshake even, and I thought, wow, so I thought, well, I've got to pay him, so I went, you know, to my little purse, and I got out my $5, and I said, oh, here, let me pay you, and he said, no, you don't need to pay me. This is on me. And then a friend of mine came by, and she also went to the store for me. And I told her to get just the smallest box she could find of some kind of cereal. And she didn't. She brought a big box. And I'm thinking, oh, no, okay. So I got my $5 out again and went to pay for it. But she wouldn't take it. And then I needed to get a cab to go to the airport. And so I asked my landlord if they would call for a cab for me. And he said, no. I thought, what? I've got two babies and you're not going to call for a cab for me? He said, no. He said, I will take you to the airport. And the next morning, real early, there was a knock on my door. Of course, I didn't sleep because I was excited. I was going home. And he had breakfast for me. And then, of course, he took me to the airport. And that was back when there was no terrorists or anything. So it was a little small airport in South Carolina. And he carried one of my babies, and I had the other. And the last time I saw that little man, I was looking out the little airplane, and he's waving a little white handkerchief. And, of course, I offered him my $5 for gas, and he wouldn't take it. Then I got to New York. Well, you know, sometimes airlines, some are get behind. Well, mine was late, and my plane had taken off for Scotland, and I had 10 hours to wait in New York and with two little ones. So I finally found the waiting area, and I thought, I'm not leaving this spot. I mean, I'm staying here because I'm not going to miss the next plane. So I stayed there, and there was a little lady there. Of course, my kids were, you know, I was letting them crawl, and they really looked nice at first, but, you know, after a few hours, they looked like two little bums. And I was beginning to look like one myself, too. But
that was my sister. That wasn't me, just to clarify.
But my, I noticed this little lady, she was cleaning the area, and she came in a few times, and finally she asked me, she said, how come you're here so long? So I explained my situation to her, and she went off, and then she came back, and she had brought me some food. And I thought, wow, she doesn't even know me. And then I took out my $5 to pay her. But she wouldn't take it. And not only that, you know what that little lady did later? She, when it came time for her to go off her shift, she stayed with me. And then she also took my kids' little pantaloon things and washed them for me. I don't know where she washed them. She washed them and dried them and brought them back to me. And, you know, God sends us angels. And then, of course, I got on my plane and took off and got to Scotland, and the air hostess said to me at the end when I got to Renfrew, and she said, is there anybody waiting for you to help you? And I said, no, because no one knew exactly when I was coming. And I said, no, there's no one. She said, well, I just feel that I need to call, you know, and just check. So I said, oh, no, there's no, don't even bother. But of course she did. And so when I come around the corner from her little place where she'd been calling, there stood my aunt and uncle. And man, I was so relieved. I literally threw my babies at them. By this time, I was so tired. Because if they had not been there, I needed to take two trains, a boat, to get home. And but with them having their car there, you know, I didn't have to worry about that. But then when I got to the boat, you know, I said to my uncle, I said, okay, here's my money for my fare. And I was going to pay my own fare. And he looked at this American money, and he said, that's not real money. Yeah. He said, that looks like fake money. He said, put that away. And, you know, when my husband arrived 3 weeks later, I still had my $5. I'm telling you what, God will provide. He will make a way for you.
Amen. Amen. Now, is that powerful or what?
Yeah.
Now, I mean, that's a great story, isn't it? But more than just remembering, that releases something in the atmosphere. If God can do that for my mom, $5, okay? She never even spent it, right? Got all the way from South Carolina, all the way to Scotland, all the way back home 3 weeks later, and still have that $5. God is a provider. Amen? And that tells us, listen, we got to remember, and that's one of the things that I wanted to write down in stone, because I want my boys to always remember that, so that when they come to a situation, they are having some financial difficulty. I mean, they can remember that God's the same God that took care of their grandma. Amen? That's the same God that'll take care of you. Amen? Has God ever provided for anybody else a financial miracle? I'm serious. Really, a miracle. Financial miracle. Amen? Is there anybody that needs a financial miracle? Would you stand up? Just stand up. If you're in need of a financial miracle, I want you to stand up. Amen. Amen. Because listen, a testimony is more than just a good story. It's a great story. But there is anointing that is released when we tell a testimony of God's provision. Amen. That anointing is here. I want some other people just to stand up that are around these. I want you to put a hand on them. We're going to just pray for them right now that God would just release finances. Amen. That God would meet their needs so that every person who stood up, somebody has a hand on them. Amen. Put your hand on them. We're going to pray for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, you're the same God. You're the same God that provided that $5 miracle. You're the same God that does incredible things that you've provided for us. You've done financial miracles. God, we release that anointing right now in the name of Jesus. We just release that anointing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, right now, we pray for finances to come in. We pray for refunds and rebates and raises and new jobs. We release that right now. We tap into that anointing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Howard, come up here quickly. I wanted Howard just to share his testimony real quick. I took a lot of time. I apologize about that. Go ahead and just share.
Hi. This on?
Yep.
Thank you. Those are powerful testimonies today.
Amen.
By John. That scripture has carried me through many low times. The blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Back in my teenage days, I got involved in alcohol and drugs. And I was the biggest alcoholic, biggest drug addict I knew in the whole town. I was the worst. And it caught up to me, and it stripped me. And I ended up homeless. I ended up scandalous, very unlikable, and I was also hopeless. I was actually got derelict in my thinking. My walk, I was hearing voices. I was out there. I used to work for Labor Ready, and they wouldn't even work me anymore. I used to sleep out in front of their doors. They might let me mop a floor. It got really bad. It got worse than that. I had had 6 drunk drivings, been busted 3 times for drugs, done all the jail time, all the stuff that goes along with it. One day I was over at Dameron Hospital in the parking lot, and the security wanted me to get out of the parking lot. I was just walking by. I had that look. A guy named Richard Barajas, who went to this church, this is back when it was over on Center.
Yeah.
He goes, hey, you want to go to church? He goes, you need a place to stay? Do you need any food? And yeah. And I said, you know, I'll go to church with you. And he was a little bit crippled. We're walking along. He fell. And I was trying to help him up. Some people thought I was mugging him. Yeah. And, well, we made it to church. I got in church. I see all these nice people. And I'm hearing all these people loving Jesus. And I'm going, man, I I'd been to Episcopalian church before when I was younger and stuff. These people, I love you, Jesus. I love you. I'm like, wow, I want this. But all I know is I got up and the men laid their hands on me and prayed over me. And I was skinny, my hair is long, I just had a little leather jacket on, nothing underneath it. And I know pastor came up to me and he ran up on me and it was like, he just started praying over me like this. And they had these big fans up and I'm hearing, feeling this wind hit me. And after we're all done, their fans weren't on. After 29 years of this stuff I went through, a week and a half later I'm in recovery.
Amen.
That was over 10 years ago.
Amen.
And I got touched.
Amen.
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 Wow. I was hopeless. Remember, derelict. I was so bad. If I went down one street one day, I didn't want to walk it down at the next.
Wow.
I got this. I want to read to you. This really helped me out. It's Ezekiel 33, 14, 15, and 16. It's my restitution. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die. If you turn from a sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his sins he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. That was my restitution. I had a lot of restitution to pay, child support, the federal government, the state, and everybody worked with me really big. My list was that long. It's down to almost nothing now. Amen. Yeah, they worked really well with me, too. They worked. It's amazing how people work with you.
Let me butt in here. Howard showed me his list because he'd say, you know, I robbed from this store. Yeah. I stole cigarettes from this store. And so he would literally go back to the store and tell the guy, hey, listen, you know, I used to steal, I was a drug addict, all this kind of stuff, and I want to make it right. And people would look at him like, we don't even know how to balance that on our budget. What, we don't even know what you're doing with that money.
Yeah.
Isn't that a great testimony?
Yeah.
Amen, of what God can do. Amen.
I just want to say a little bit more.
Go ahead.
I've been really blessed. Then I got into giving out Bibles. Quick, because I had kids, I had back child support I wanted to pay up. So instead of going back to school or anything like that, I went for truck driving, which was really great. It only took me 5 weeks to get through. And when I got our recovery house, I went to a halfway house for a year and a half. It was right across the street from our church. And they were visiting me all the time when I was going through recovery. I needed that kind of support. I needed a long term. I was bad. So I got into this truck driving, and I started this Bible ministry where I was giving out Bibles wherever I go. Not only people who were like me, who was like me, but all kinds. Well, then one time, pastor, this around in November, he said, let's put a box up and let's get this started where we bring them sleeping bags, coats, food, whatever. And Howard, I want you to go out and give this out to the needy. And that's what started this homeless outreach, which was right up my alley. And those guys knew me out there. You know, and they go, hey, he used to be out here. How, look at him, you know. And
yeah.
So that was really awesome, and that was a gift. That was a gift for me.
Amen.
I used to play the drums, and I hadn't played in 10 years, and I had a great drum set, and I'd hawked it, you know. And Cherise Rudd, I was a drummer, and she put the song back in my heart and had me playing drums. And all that garbage, all that music I used to listen to that I thought was so great, talking about a new song, well, this song praises the Lord. And I hear that stuff now. It's all about self or exalting another person, and I just, wow. So my heart was changed on the music end.
Amen.
For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, which John talked about earlier, got me through my low times.
Yeah.
Because the devil didn't want to release me right all the time, and I'd be driving that truck, and I'm by myself getting through my stuff, and I would repeat what you said, and that would carry me through, because by his blood, just the power of his name, by his blood, that's it.
Amen.
You gotta go.
Amen.
I've been blessed, like Rita with the food ministry and the prayer warrior, and Renee and Millie on their prayers and their ministry coming out with us, and Mario in his Spanish speaking outreach, and John and Carmen, they come out and they do a closed outreach when we go out there and wow, dress people out. Gina and Penny on their prayer warriors and their support with food. And the Allers who are in Galt, she has cancer, and she's getting delivered from that. But their support, and the Hanks, and they come out and help us bag our groceries. And Uncle Dave, who comes out and is always helping. All these people that come and help the ministry, and all the family, all you people who have been my brothers and sisters. And I'll tell you, what a blessing.
Amen.
I just end it with this. As we go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers,
amen,
raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. And one more thing, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that the youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed.
Thank Amen.
You. Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you.
Love you.
Amen. Isn't that great? So God took somebody who was living on the streets, now was ministering to people on the streets. And that's what they're just going to do in just a few minutes. They're going to head out to minister to the homeless community in our city. You can go with them after the service if you want. But isn't that great what God can do? And so if you're bound by addiction or whatever, God can set you free. Amen. The power of God can set you free from whatever you're bound from. What a powerful, powerful testimony. Let me quickly, because I'm out of time, I'll just wrap this up. I wanted to mention this, even though I'm out of time. A testimony involves not only remembering, but also involves declaring. I wanted to make sure that I emphasize the word declaring, because there is a connection between our declaring and God moving. Nothing happens in the kingdom of God unless somebody speaks it into existence. Amen? We need to speak. I want to tell you, you might have a testimony, but you've got to get it out of your heart and you've got to begin to speak it. You got to begin to confess it, because it releases things in the atmosphere. And the last one, a testimony should transform not only our thinking, but also our behavior. Amen?